how you expect to save money when you don't have any? Here is my best retirement savings tips to help you save money no matter how much money you make, or if you make very little. Stay tuned. I'm going to show you this mathematical trick that's going to get you in the habit of saving and get you on the right path to saving for retirement. All this and more on this episode of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things. Welcome to Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things, where we teach you how to be rich in spirit and righteous in action. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. My name is A.B. Ridgway. I'm the host of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things, and my mom's favorite Christian financial advisor. And I get emails all the time talking about, what's the best savings tip? How can I start saving? How much should I save? And it's like, oh, I've tried saving, but I just give up and I just can't do it. And it's so hard. What's your best advice? Well, brothers and sisters, I'm here to help you develop the habit of saving no matter how much money you make. If you're new to my channel, I don't have one of those fancy pads yet. Maybe one day YouTube will pay me enough so I can get one of those cool little pads. Well, we'll see. But anyway, we're going to be in Microsoft Word. I'm going to teach you how to save in all types of situations. Now, I'm going to talk about problem number one. So number one problem is that people want to save a dollar amount. So what they say, they go, well, I'm going to save $200 and then I'm going to have $1,000 in 5 months and I'm going to have this and I'm going to do this. And it's like, yeah, you can. So what happens? Month one, check. They did it. Perfect. Did a great job. Month two, it's a little struggle, but check. They did it. Month three, emergency. What happens? Wipes out your savings. Now you don't have anything. Now you're stuck. So you don't do it month three. You're recovering. You don't do it month four. And then you kind of give up on month five. That's not what we want. We don't want those type of situations. Why don't we? Because now you're not saving for your future. You've tried it. You tried everything on the internet and nothing works. So I'm trying to give you something that is going to work. The second problem is that you don't know what you're actually saving for. So a lot of people say is, I want to save $1,000. Well, why do you want to save $1,000? What's so special about $1,000? I don't know. Does something magical happen at $1,000? Does, you know, do you get an additional $50,000 if you save up $1,000? Why? People can't make that numbers. Well, I just want to be financially secure. Well, if you don't know what number is going to give you financial security, you're always going to be wanting more because there's always one more dollar to make. Okay. So what is the second problem here? The second problem, problem number two, is that we don't know what we are saving for. You need to know what you're saving for. Are you saving for an emergency? If that's true, then you need to save up 3 to 6 months. Well, how much is 3 to 6 months? It's 3 to 6 months of your living expenses. So if your living expenses are $3,000, then you're going to need to save $18,000, in a savings account. Somewhere where some short-term growth. That's what you're going to need. So how do you consistently save when you don't have any money? So yeah, it's cool if you have $3,000 and $5,000, but what if you have no money? What is this secret that you're telling me about? This is it. You are going to invest or save by percentages. That's that right? I hope that's right. If it's not right, somebody will correct me in the comments. So Microsoft Word didn't say nothing, so I'm not going to say nothing either. So save by percentages. Everyone can save by a percentage. So watch this. Let's say you want to save $300 per month, right? That's what they call a fixed amount. And we went over that example where you fail over and over again. Now let's switch this around. Let's switch this to percentages. Let's say you are going to save 10% of everything left over from bills. Okay? Because we all have to survive, right? We have food, water, shelter, gas, everything else like that. At the end of the month, you have $1. So you pay for your food, your travel, your cars, everything else like that. You have $1 left over. How much can you put to your savings? So if you said 10%, how much are you going to put in your savings account? 10 cents. Month two, you have, let's say $5. $5 left over. How much are you going to put into your savings account? You're going to put in 50 cents. So now you have 60 cents and you save 2 months in a row. Okay. Let's go on to month 6 and 7, right? And you do this over and over and over again. And who cares if it's a couple of pennies, 50 cents here, 70 cents here. What you're developing is a habit of saying, I'm going to give the 10%. And you know what's going to happen? Over time, you're going to either have one or two things. You're going to say either one, I need to lower my living expenses, or two, I'm going to increase the income that's coming into the household. And guess what? As it increases, let's say you have $100 or $200, right? 10% of that is $20. You see the pattern here is that you can still spend the 180 if you want to, but you've developed this habit of saving at least 10% of everything that you have extra. And the same thing happens with tithing. Brothers and sisters, they always tell you, you should tithe your gross. I don't even get my gross. Okay. So, you know, this for an example, if someone makes $200,000 and they want to tithe 10% of that, I don't make $10,000. The government takes, you know, 20 some odd thousand dollars of that money. So I'm left with less. So I'm technically tithing more than 10% because I'm not even getting that amount. You get what I'm saying? So that's why math is so important. And people say gross versus net. And I think it's net. And I think it's even different than that. I think it's net after your bills. So I think of tithing as once you pay for your food, water, shelter, your housing, you know, things of that nature that you have to pay in order to survive, then 10% of that goes to giving and charity. Why is that important? Because we don't want to become the person that needs the receiving. How many times have you seen that in your church? Someone who's tithed faithfully year in and year out, and then an emergency happens. And then they go to the church and says, hey, I need some help. And they have to have a board meeting. And they say, unfortunately, we can't help you. We have more needy people. We can't give it to you right now, or it doesn't qualify. We can't help you with the bill. More often than not, a lot of people don't see that business side of churches. So what I say is that you still want to give, but don't give to the point where you become the one in need. And that's why we need to have a financial plan and know where our numbers are at so we can give freely and with a good heart. Even Paul talks about not giving under compulsion, you know, not to feel forced to actually give. And what's the best way to feel forced? When someone tries to guilt trip you into thinking that you're holding something from God's money from the church. No, God is giving you that money to take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. Now, where you need to question your intentions is where I'm not going to give this money because I want a new Rolls Royce or I want a new Corvette. That's when you really need to check yourself and say, is this the life that I need, or am I just being greedy? And that's an internal thing. And I can't question it. I don't know what you need. You know, maybe you have a family of six. Maybe you do need a bigger house. You know, we don't know. But what I am saying is that you need to figure out when is enough enough. You can give to other people and then you start tithing to your church and you don't have to give under compulsion. You can give freely and happily with a happy heart instead of grudgingly, like if I pay this, now I have to pray for it back and hope that God blesses me with the money he already gave me. Doesn't make any sense, right? So give with your heart content. And like I said, if you want to give your gross, if you want to give all your money, that's fine. If you want to give 20%, you can. I honestly believe that you can give more than 10%. That's a great baseline because a tithe just means a tenth. That's great. You know, that's biblical, but you can give more than 10% if you want to. And in most cases, I do. But sometimes it's not to a church. Maybe it's someone in need. Maybe it's to a worker who's doing an exceptional job or someone who's doing a kind act in public. You know, those are different ways that you can expand God's kingdom. It doesn't necessarily always have to go to the church. But once again, I am not a pastor or anything like that. I'm just a man who definitely understands that when it comes to money, percentages work. I want you to be able to give. So this is a great way for you to set up a system where you can give every month, regardless if you have zero money, even if you have 50 cents to your name, you rub two quarters together. 10% of 50 cents is what? A nickel. Put that nickel in your savings account and understand you are building a strategy. So when you do have the 300,000, when you do have the half a million, the million, the 2 or 3 or 5 million, you'll be ready. And even if you have 5 million now, you're like, I can't save. I don't know how to save. Think about percentages. Don't think about fixed amounts. Think about percentages.